theme for March will be the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Nothing more powerful than the Word of God. We may be having a little technical difficulties here, but we'll keep going here. The Word of God, the Bible tells us, is the most powerful thing, for by it we understand that the world, the universe, was framed by it. Amen. And that is one of the things that we need to understand, that the Word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. Hold on 1 minute. I'm having some technical difficulties here, but we're just going to rebuke that. Amen. 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 In the name of Jesus. All right. Here we go. All right. And this first lesson is about speaking to your mountain. You know, all of us have some mountains in our lives that we need to be dealt with. Amen. Some things that are so huge that they seem so impossible. But God has given us a means to deal with every single situation. In John 15, verse 7, it says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall what? Ask what he will, and it shall be done unto you." It's amazing sometimes how simple it is that God has made it, and yet we don't use it or don't do it or don't believe it, because we may try it for a little bit, and because it didn't happen right away, we give up. You know, if Elijah had stopped praying after the first time or the second time when he prayed for rain, it wouldn't have rained. He kept on praying 7 times. It's okay to keep on praying till you get an answer. Now, the answer may be wait. The answer may be no. But you keep on praying. Don't give up. Amen? You keep on praying. Paul prayed 3 times, and the Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient." So the thing with us, as soon as we don't see it happen right away, we give up. We get discouraged. We turn aside. Daniel had to pray for 21 days, and the angel came and said, "From the first day that you set your face, I was dispatched." But you understand that we're in spiritual warfare. The enemy will try and stop your answer. He will try and hold up the result. And so we must not give up when we don't see it happen right away. The key is to keep God's word abiding in our heart. If ye abide in me and my words abiding, that means stay in us. How do we get the word to stay in us? Read it, eat it, meditate upon it, think about it. Amen. How do we get the word? That is the key. It's as simple as that. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. I've said so many times from this podium, pick a verse a week and meditate upon it. You know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, if you're there is a verse that deals with every single aspect that you're going through. But do we use it? No. We use our own thoughts and things. Well, I got to do this and that's not going to work. No. That's not the words that will speak to your mountain. The words that will speak to your mountain is the words that come from him. If my words, he said, abide in you, his words abide in you, then you shall ask what he will, and it shall be done unto you. Most of the times, and I'm guilty of this too, we use our own words. We start to think, how can we solve this problem? What shall I do to make it work out? Instead of using his words, even Jesus, when dealing with Satan, what did he do? He said, "It is written." It is written, right? And most of the times, we don't go to the "it is written." And this is the key. The power of the word is revealed in it being his word, not the power of my word. Amen. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what he will, and it shall be done unto you. I would declare that the week we take, pick a verse and just meditate upon that is the week we will see all kinds of stuff happen. Amen. Amen. And there are so many verses. Amen. That come to mind. I mean, even simple ones. Psalm 27 is the one that comes to me. There's the other ones. I think Psalm 43 says, "He is the lifter up of my head." You depressed? You down? You start telling yourself that. He is the lifter up of my head. He is the lifter. You tell it to yourself till you believe it. You start walking with your nose in the air because you're a child of the King. Amen. You're a child of the King. You know, it's tax time, right? It's tax time. In Jesus' day, they collected taxes too. And so they came to Peter and they said, does your master pay taxes? Jesus knew what was going on. Before Peter even said a word, he said, go back out. Go get a fishing rod and throw it into the river. And the first fish you catch, open its mouth. You take the money out. You go pay the taxes for me and you. Do you understand that God knows what we need even before we can say it? That's what the word says. He knew what was needed before Peter was about to say, Master, you know what they're saying. He says, Peter, go back out, get your rod, cast. Do you understand that if we would let that word abide? I try very much not to pray for things for me. Now, I do pray for me, but it's not for things. It's for mercy, for grace. It's for God's forgiveness, but no, I think I can honestly say I can't remember when I last asked him for a thing. And I'm not boasting, I've trained myself now to not ask him for things because he already knows. He already knows. He's already telling me, you go get your rod and go cast your net over there, because he will direct our path. He has promised to direct our path. The most powerful force in the universe is the Word of God. Think about that. Let's look at that. This is going to be our lesson. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds, the whole universe, were framed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen, the seat you're sitting on, the glasses you're wearing, the watch you may have, or your iPad, all of those things, you can see them, were not made from things which do appear. But God spoke those things into existence. Just those three words, let there be. Genesis 1:3, let there be light. And there was light. I know I've asked you this before. The only answer when God says let there be is? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Just meditating on those three words alone would get me excited. Lord, let there be. What can I point that at? Let there be victory. Let there be deliverance. Let there be healing. Let there be restoration. Amen. I just got a word from Sister Johnny Harrison that she's doing much better. They're going to be letting her out, I believe, today. Let there be healing. Let there be restoration. The most powerful thing, if we could accept it, is God's word. But you know what? We turn to everything else, principally money. Now, the Bible does say that money answereth a lot of stuff. But there's some things money can't fix. It can't fix relationships. It can't fix sickness for the most part. You know, as you get older, you start using up those hospital things and even little things nowadays. I mean, you know, just a little thing. I went in to get a little thing fixed, and, you know, I told you they sent me this ridiculous bill. Ridiculous, like, my goodness, come on now. That's just stealing with a lab coat on. You know, it was like $30,000 for like a 4-hour outpatient thing. Like, I can't believe it, you know, but it doesn't matter. You know why? The cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. You see, I don't look like I'm worried about it, do I? Does it look like I'm worried about it? No. I tell you what, God has provided an overabundance. Overabundance. You're just praising God. Amen, amen. God has provided an overabundance. He really has. He really has. I can't tell you. I just can't tell you because you wouldn't understand it. But God has provided an overabundance. Overabundance. Amen. That's all I can say about that. And God saw the light that it was good, because that's the only result of anything God creates. God cannot do second best. God does not make used furniture. No. They told him to make some wine. It turned out to be the very best wine. They were shocked. They said, well, you know, everyone else serves this the worst wine after everybody's kind of gotten a little bit, you know, toasted, whatever the word is, I don't know. But you guys, you left it to the last. They had never tasted wine like that because Jesus did it. He can't do second best. When you let God work in your life, he cannot do second best. If people understood the benefits of truly letting God's will function in your life, because if God says a word into your life, the only result is going to be good. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good. See, God will divide his creation from darkness. When God calls you, he's going to call you out of darkness. When he brought light in Egypt, he had to separate the light that was over in Goshen from the darkness that was over in Egypt. You understand that? When God wants to send a word into your life, it's got to be different because perfection cannot dwell with imperfection. And God saw the light and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. You know, most people, when we read the Bible, lots of stuff just goes whoosh. You notice it didn't say morning, then the evening. That's how we would say it. We would say the morning and then the evening was the first day. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the evening and then the morning were the first day. Because what it is symbolizing is going from darkness to light. Amen. When we come to God, we go from darkness to light. Amen. So we see that the most powerful force and the thing that created everything was the Word of God. The Bible goes on to say that it is the Word of God that is eternal. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Paul is making a very deep, profound theological statement. What he's saying is that it is the invisible things of God is what you can perceive, because you look at creation and you can perceive that there has to be a creator. You know, if I held this phone up, which is the pinnacle of technology, it takes a whole all of 20th century technology to have culminated in this thing here. Some of us are old enough to remember the first calculators. I remember in 1972, my high school teacher came in with the first electronic calculator I'd ever seen. It was an HP 32, and it cost $400 back then. And we all gathered around and was going, wow, you know, wow. Now, if I said this thing just happened by itself, just made itself, everybody would say I'm crazy. And yet the complexity of even the simplest human cell is orders of magnitude above that. And all of those things were made by the Word of God. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. What are some of the invisible things? Well, that God loves you. They've searched this whole universe and they're still searching. And you know what? They cannot find a place that is better suited for life, as messed up as we've made this planet, than this planet. They've sent probes to Mars, and there's no air there. There is no life there. There's no water that you can drink there. They've sent probes to the moon, same thing. The fact that God created this planet so perfectly, so that it's just the right distance from the sun, that it's angled the right way to give the seasons, that's what it's speaking. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. When you see a rose, some of you have witnessed your child being born. Isn't that just mind-blowing? That you think there are 7,000 plus human beings on this planet, and every single one of them came the same way. Came the same. Think about that. Seems impossible, but that's what it's speaking about. The eternal things are his word and his attributes, his love and his greatness, his omniscience and his omnipresence are understood by the things that he made, because we can't make them. Do you know we can't make a heart yet? We can make a car. We can make this thing that's got billions of electric circuits in it. We can make a screen that's got high definition, but we cannot make a heart. They've been trying for the last 40 years to make a heart. It seems so simple. It's just a pump. Why can't we make it? Because it's so much more than a pump. All of the ones they've tried create blood clots. All of the ones they've tried destroy the blood. All of the ones they've made can only last for a little bit, then it has to be repaired. And yet your heart has been going, as I said, nonstop, maybe rested for a couple seconds. That's all it's allowed for however many years you've been on this planet. Think about that. It can't have an oil change. It's self-repairing. This is what the creator of this universe is. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. So that's why it ends up, they are without excuse. In every civilization that they have researched, whatever tribe and cut off in whatever part of the world, they've always worshipped something. Evolution can't explain that. Where did that need to worship? That's because there is a place that God has created that was can only be filled in a relationship with Him. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That's how rock solid it is. So when he says, I am going to prepare a place for you, in John 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will. When he says that, do you understand that is going to happen? And maybe going to happen pretty soon, the way the world is going? If heaven and earth will pass away, the whole universe, from the time of man's fall, started to decay. You know, eventually they say the sun will burn out. The nuclear forces that make it give off heat are actually using up about 400 tons a second. But it's so big that it will still last, you know, if man was not to blow himself up, millions of years. But even eventually the sun would run out. The whole universe is running down because of man's sin, decay. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. The only thing Satan is afraid of is the word of God. Did you know that? He's not so much afraid of your faith, because that's only a shield. All that does is stop him getting to you. But the only weapon that we are given, it said, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And yet, you know, most of us go out without that weapon. We take our faith, we take our helmet of salvation. But as I said, how many of us will meditate on the word? As I've said, I'm challenging you today. Take a verse and meditate upon it this week. Just chew it over in your mind. Take any scriptural verse. And even if it's the let there be, because you could point that weapon in so many directions. Let there be peace in my home. Let there be healing in my home. Let there be victory in my home. Let there be finance. Just those three words. If they're God's words with prayer and faith behind it, do you understand how powerful that is? The eternal things, hallelujah. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Isn't that something? And yet we refuse to use it. It's like, it's just, I won't go there. I was going to go about the vaccines and the fake cures, but I won't go there. It's like people want to use horse medicine. They would rather use horse dewormer than what the doctors tell them. Okay. Well, that's what that ivermectin is. So anyway, I've just offended a whole bunch of people, but that's okay. Let's look at this a little bit more deeply. John chapter 3 verse 11 says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and telling them, listen, you don't want to hear my witness. You asking me the question, but you really don't want the answer. Many times we ask God something, but we really don't want the answer. You know why? Because we don't want to change. We don't want the answer. Sister Brown, you were about to say something. Okay. Now, This is like an auction. If I see your hand move, I'm going to call on you. You just bought yourself a chair. You did like this. So I have to drill that down because we don't want it to stop you worshiping. Amen, amen, amen. So God has called us to use what we know. And how do we know? Because we're coming here today to be encouraged and to learn about the Word of God. Somebody hand did go up? Amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So how does the word work? Well, it first starts with thoughts. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the Greek, that word logos means the thought. Before we speak, mostly, there should be a thought. Now, sometimes there isn't. And when there isn't, it usually don't come out right. It usually don't come out the way it should be when we speak without thinking. That's what Job did, you know. God said, who is this that darkeneth my counsel, who speaks without understanding? And many times that's how we are, because we have not really consulted God. God said to Job, you're darkening my counsel. You don't understand what's going on. And Job at the end had to acknowledge, yes, God, I don't really understand what's going on. So thoughts are what generates speech, and then speech actually comes back into our hearing. So we can have a thought, but and my wife gets on me for this, because I can verbalize some negative things, and she said, you shouldn't be claiming that. So I'm speaking to myself today. This is a bad habit I have sometimes, you know, because when we verbalize it, then we give it power. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and he received not our witness. So just to give you an example, there was someone who had a 3-pack-a-day smoking habit. And they came to church and got saved, but they still had this terrible smoking habit. And they were really addicted to the cigarette. And I think it was Andrew Womack, maybe it was, told this story. And the preacher told him, okay, every time you go to smoke, take out the packet and you speak to the pack of cigarettes. Speak to it? He said, yes, speak to it. Tell it, I hate you. You stink. You're no good. You're bad for me. I hate you. And he said, even if it seems stupid, just do that every single time. So the guy would do this. And about 2 weeks went, every time he took out the pack to smoke, he would speak to the box of cigarettes and say how terrible they were. Then he would take them up and light it up. Keep smoking. This happened for six weeks. 6 weeks. One day, on the sixth week, he got up and he started speaking to the box. I hate you. You're terrible. You stink. And you know what happened? He didn't want them anymore. The Bible says the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. This is the word. That's how, you know, we've been given the key. Jesus told us what to do, but we are just so hard-headed. We will go and get something else. Use anything else but what God told us to do. Speak to your mountain. Even if it seems stupid, even if the mountain look like it's not going to move, you keep doing it. You keep doing it until you believe it. It's not denying reality. But you remember what I said before about our 5 senses. They show the truth, but not the whole truth. You know, when, as I said, when you go into court, you have to lay your hand on the book and you have to affirm that you're going to tell the truth and the whole truth. Well, your senses don't tell you the whole truth because they cannot see into the spiritual realm. Just like the prophet Elijah and his servant, when they were surrounded, the truth was they were surrounded. It looked hopeless, but it wasn't the whole truth. He had to pray, Lord, open his eyes. When God opens our spiritual eyes, even though you get a bill for $30,000, that's not the truth. It's not the whole truth. The truth is, my God shall supply all my needs. And you know what? He does, and he has. That's the whole truth. Because God's word is above any other word that you can put on paper. His name is above every name that can be named. So the way it works, thought, speech, hearing is represented or modeled by the Father, the Son, because God, the Son then became flesh. The Word became flesh. And then the Holy Spirit is going to teach us. The Bible says when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he shall not what? Speak of himself, but he shall tell us what the Father. And if we were ready to hear, we'd get into a lot less trouble. So that is the model, that the thoughts are then manifested as speech, and then speech comes into our hearing, which builds faith. So the Father in the spirit world, and in the Son in our physical world, and when he went, he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So in the beginning, John 1:1 says, was the Word, the Logos, the thought, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts. That's why we can't work it out. Lord, why did you let this happen to me? You won't be able to work it out. You won't be able to work, because in our understanding, as I said, I was prepared a few weeks ago, and I read some stuff to do a rant. I was going to get on Facebook and do a rant, you know. And it was going to be titled, If I Was God. And I was going to tell them what for. If I was God, But you understand, my words are not worth anything. God already said we can't work it out, which leaves only one option. What's the option? If we can't work it out, we have to trust him. Trust him. You know, my dad used to tell me this story. When he was first starting out, he worked on a building site. And, you know, something, he was told this story about this man that was at the bottom of the building site of the skyscraper that was being built. And something fell, started falling, and someone shouted, move from under! Now, is that the time to start asking why? Or do you just obey? Or do you look up to see what's coming? No, you move from under. See, sometimes God wants us just to obey. We'll understand later. But for now, we got to move. We can't be questioning, because if we stand there, you know what's going to happen? The devil's going to fall on us. Fall right on us. He's already said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not like your ways, because he is a supernatural being. He's a perfected being. So he's not going to operate the way we think he should operate. As I said, I was going to get on there and tell some people, if I was God, this is what I'd do. I can't think of 100 things I would do. I'd swap colors. I'd make all the white people wake up black, all the black people wake up white. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun? I would swap a lot of things. Because until you've walked in someone's shoes, but that's just my word. My word isn't very good. See, God isn't like that. Aren't you glad God isn't like that? Because if I was God, I probably would not be very forgiving. You know, my natural tendency, and just pray for me, is to hold a grudge. Let me confess. I've got a long memory in my flesh. I have to pray that God give me an attitude of mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Why? For they shall obtain. God is so different from us. His word is so far different. His nature surpasses our little puny understanding. And I'm glad for it. That's why we cannot understand everything that's going to happen in our life. That's why we must trust. You either trust him or you don't. Because you don't have time to say, what are you saying? What should I move? No, you save your life by jumping, by obeying. See, we need to have everything explained to us, else we won't accept it. We need to see it for ourselves before we... That's what Jesus was saying. I'll go back. He said, "Verily I say unto you, we speak that we know and testify what we have seen, and you receive not our witness." They wouldn't believe. And the funny thing is, in the parable Jesus told of the rich man and the poor man, and the poor man was always a poor man till he died, and when they both went to the grave, and he said, "Look, please send someone from the grave to go back and tell my brethren." And Abraham said, "Listen, if they won't believe the word, they won't believe even if someone comes back from the grave." But just to show you how merciful God is, guess what he did? He sent someone back from the grave. Jesus. Did everyone believe? No. Because his ways is so different. The disciples couldn't understand. Listen, if you know they're going to kill you, why go to Jerusalem? The answer is because my ways are not your ways. I have a purpose. See, we can't understand God's purpose until sometimes way past the event. We can look back and we can see, "Now I see your hand in this matter, Lord. I didn't understand before." And that's why when we trust God, when we meditate upon that word, when we make that word abide, that means it stays with us. If that word is abiding in us, we're not going to answer back some people the way our flesh would be tempted to answer us back. Amen? Jeremiah 29:11. Here's a very famous verse. Because God's got this. Did you know that? If you're his child, anyone who is a parent, as I've said before, you know when your kids need stuff. You don't have to be told. They don't have to beg you. You know. You're already planning, "Okay, I'm going to get this at this," and you're working out the budget when you can get it. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." When I think about how God's mercy and his love, he's saying, "I know the thoughts that I have towards you." You know what he's saying? I love you. You don't understand how much I love you. You don't understand how I operate in your life because I'm not like you. I can't just do stuff any old way like you want me to. See, I would just do a lot of swapping if I was God, but that's not God's way. He is limited by his own nature. He is limited by his own word. Because once he gives his word, he can't change it for nothing. He gave man dominion, and even though he wants to take it back, he can't do that for nothing. You have to come to him and say, "Lord, I love you. You take my dominion. You be my advocate." That's the only time he can operate fully in your life, is when you come to him and give him back and return the word that he gave you. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The reason why we don't get the expected end is because we fight him. We try and interfere in his plan by not resting or trusting. "Then shall he call upon me, and he shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." All I can tell you is God has been so merciful to me. I can't think of anything I've asked him for that was good that he didn't give. You know, there are some things he hasn't given me, and they were bad things. If I had got them, I would have been in trouble. I've told you the story of the rich lady with the nanny, and she hears her child crying in the other room and saying, "Give it to me," you know, wants something, and the nanny won't give it to him, and the woman, you know, can't see what's going on. She says, "Why don't you give it to him?" She says, "But I said, you're working for me, you give it to him." And then the child starts crying even more. "I told you to give it to him." "Well, yeah, I did." What was it? It was a bee. Stung him. See, sometimes what we want is going to sting us. And we can't see it. It looks pretty and harmless because we're a little child. We don't know that God is protecting us from the thing that would damage us. "Then shall he call upon me, and he shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen to you." You see, God wants his word to be effective in our life, but it won't be unless we're willing to submit. So first of all, we have the thought. God is telling us that even before you were born, you were in my thoughts. I created you for a purpose. That was the thought. Then it comes to the spoken word. John 12:49, Jesus says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." Imagine if we, every time we opened our mouth, it was only what God wanted us to say. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Get me out of a lot of trouble. Haven't there been times when you said something and you go, "Oh my goodness, wish I could grab those words out the air." Nowadays it's texting. "Oh my goodness, I wish I could grab that back." See, Jesus didn't operate like us. He said, "For what I should say and what I should speak." That should be our prayer every day. "Lord, you take over my lips. You guide my steps. You order my steps." And if we did that, we would have so much more success. You know the story that David was so successful most of the time because he, begins with E, inquired of the Lord. Before he went to battle, 90 times out of 100, he inquired of the Lord. Before he went in this direction, he inquired of the Lord. The times when David messed up was when he did not inquire of the Lord. You know, he thought, "I'll bring the ark back and I'll do it my way." Right? "We'll put it on a cart." Well, how was the ark designed to be carried? On a cart? No, that's how the Philistines did it. That's how the heathen did it. It was not designed to be put on a cart and carried by some cows. It was put with some staves, and it should have been carried by the priests. Now, if he had done that and asked the priests, how are we supposed to do this? They'd have told him it was designed that way. It had holes precisely to be carried that way. Instead, he saw the Philistines do it, thought he would do it. That's what gets us in trouble. We see the world do something, and we think it's okay. We'll do it that way too. And then we get mad at God when something negative happens. You see, we can't operate that way. "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." You know, when they brought that lady caught in the very act of adultery, what did Jesus do? He didn't say a word. He didn't speak. The Father, Spirit told him, "Don't say a word. Let them just stand there." Do you understand that when people are condemning you, God is ignoring them? Do you see that? They brought her for condemnation, and Jesus ignored them. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Even though in this case she was guilty, but Jesus, God, ignored them. Totally ignored them. All he did was start writing out their issues. And the reason I say it, because the scripture says they became convicted. What would convict them? What would make them start to get convicted unless somebody, something was happening to bring to light what their mess was about? You see, Jesus said that what I should say and what I should speak. And so in this case, the Spirit said, "Don't speak anything." God will ignore the accusations of the enemy. The problem is we're listening to it. He's ignoring it. We're listening to it. And letting the devil deceive us and depress us. God isn't listening to it. The Bible says the accuser of our brethren is going to be thrown out. He's going to be cast out. He's not going to be listened to. He can say all he wants, but no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So the spoken word comes from the Son. In Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words," this is what Jesus said, "shall not pass away." Now, when it comes to guidance, it comes from hearing. You get guidance by listening. If you don't listen, you're going to have a hard time. But it's so frustrating to have to listen, isn't it? In my old age, I get frustrated when people speak slowly and take a long time to get to the point. I want to... In my spirit, I'm just doing this, this, this. Amen. I'm just doing this, this, this. You know, I'm just saying, "Come on, come on, come on." Because I'm impatient nowadays, right? I'm getting impatient because I'm getting older. But if we were to just listen to what the Spirit is saying, we can be what? Guided. Amen. Let's look what it says here. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself." Now, if the Spirit is speaking, that means There's something for us to what? Listen, to hear. So we have the thoughts which come from the Father. He says, in Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. We have the word that comes from the Son, the speech, and now we have the Spirit speaking to us directly. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and I will show you things to come. The reason why we get in trouble is because we're not following and listening to what the Spirit has to say. If we were listening, then we wouldn't get in trouble, because we see the example in the New Testament with Paul, right? We spoke about it in the leadership meeting, how Agabus the prophet came and told Paul what was going to happen. He wasn't surprised. As Christians, we shouldn't be too surprised. Paul says, think it strange. The fiery trial. We're always surprised when something bad happens. And we start, oh Lord, think it strange. He was not surprised. He had been warned he was going to be arrested. Be warned, you're going to be attacked tomorrow. I'm telling you now, somebody's going to say something to you. Somebody's going to get on your last nerve. The person who is close to you may say a thoughtless word. I do it all the time. Yeah, ask my wife. Even me. Even me. Even me. I can be thoughtless. I'm not going to confess to you. I was thoughtless this week. So she's looking very innocent and angelic over there. But you know what? Love covers a multitude of sins. Because of God's love, even when we're thoughtless to him, he loves us still. Amen, amen. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will... How many times when you pray, you ask God to speak to you? See, prayer should not be a monologue. Prayer should be a conversation. You should pray and then you should wait and see what God will speak into your spirit. Try that. Don't just pray and be a one-way conversation. Sometimes people call me, and it's okay because I understand what they're going through, and I just listen. I just listen, and I try to just listen. I try not to talk because they want to get it out, and that's okay. But when we're talking to God, remember, he already knows. Right? He already knows. So maybe we should listen and let him speak to our spirit. If we're quiet in that still small voice, God will put an impression on us and we'll know what to do. You have some decisions you have to make right now. Go into your closet and you ask God to speak to you. That's what Eli told Samuel to go back. Go on, and when he speaks, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. The Holy Spirit is there. The Bible tells us to guide us, to speak to us. That's its purpose, to lead us into all truth. Revelation 3:22, when he's speaking to the churches, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Because God is wanting to speak to us. I know that if I was to listen better, I would do better. Amen. That's what we would see in our lives. Now, the one thing we think about when we think about the word, as I said in the beginning, that it's not going to fade away. God's word does not change. What he said yesterday is still true today. And it's going to be true tomorrow. In fact, the scripture says Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's going to be in my message, so I have to not go there because I don't want you to know my message yet. Isaiah 40 verse 8 tells us that. It says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. You know, it's amazing how science has come to agree with God. Like years ago, when the Bible was looked at, oh, God made the universe out of nothing. And now come to find out, that's what science says. There was nothing and nothing exploded. They call it the Big Bang. And they said at first when it exploded for the first few thousand years, there was darkness. Ooh, where did I hear that before? Science has now actually got the book of Genesis down. There was nothing, then there was darkness, and then there was light. Because in the early stages of the universe, they say the universe was so dense that light could not escape, and so it was dark. So now, after all these years, the Bible is matching up with science, or I should say science is finally matching up with the Bible. The Word of God shall stand forever. 1 Peter 1:24 tells us, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. So Peter here is quoting from the book of Isaiah. Right? He's quoting the same scripture that is in the book of Isaiah. In the Old Testament, we see that the word came in almost a visual sense, because the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that the word came. It would say the word of the Lord came to the prophet. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. Now in the New Testament, in the church, it's the Holy Spirit. The word came, but it was not permanently indwelling. That's the difference. Now the word comes, and it's permanently indwelling. In John chapter 20, the Bible says Jesus breathed on them. Receive ye the Spirit. In the Old Testament, the word came, but it did not stay. It was just a temporary word. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What a verse. If God tells you that, I am your shield. You know, I'm thinking he went and stayed in Egypt, and the Pharaoh wanted to take his wife. God said, mm-mm. When God is your shield, Satan can't just touch your stuff. Abraham was worried about it, but he really had nothing to worry about, because God said to the king, no, you can't touch his wife. You touch his wife, you and your household is all going to die. Next day, the king said, you got to go. You nearly killed us. You nearly killed us. You see, when God is in your sphere, when God is on your side, he told Abraham, I am going to be thy shield and thy exceeding great. When God, if you just meditate on that, look at how you got your job back with benefits and your vacation as if you never left. You see, when God is your shield and your exceeding great reward, isn't that amazing? You know, God wanted to show something special and different and unique. So here's what he did. And behold, the word of the Lord in chapter 15, verse 4, came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. He gave him a promise that the heir is going to be from your own body. And to prove it to him, God gives us a revelation that was not known. In verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. Now in those days they had no telescope. They didn't know the stars were infinite or billions. They knew there was just the 5,000 they could see. God is revealing in the Bible something that science did not know till Galileo invented the telescope and went, wow, there's a lot more. You know what? The Bible is right. Because God is saying that the number of stars is like the number of grains of sand. And God is also saying that I name them all. They all have a name. Look now towards heaven and tell. That word tell in the Hebrew is name. Name. Shem. Name the stars if thou art able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Do you understand that this is a prophecy that's going to be fulfilled? It's not fulfilled yet. But there's going to be a day when in Revelation, John looked and he saw a multitude that could not be numbered. In our day, the Bible says that there was going to be a famine for the word of God. I'm almost finished. That there was going to be a famine. Not a famine for churches. There are not a famine for churches, but a famine for the word of God. This has happened before, though. And the reason why it happens is when people leave God, when people are not faithful to God, God stops speaking to them. This happened to Israel in the time of Eli, because Eli's sons was messing up and he never corrected them. They were stealing from the temple. They were They were fornicating. And God stopped speaking to Eli. And so in 1 Samuel, we see that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. God stopped speaking. You know, when we don't do right, God withdraws himself. When we do right, he draws near to us. The word is precious. The Bible said in our day there would be a famine for the word of God. Why? Because people don't want to hear the word. They don't want to know the word. They don't want to believe the word. They don't want to accept the word. And it came to pass at that time that Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, to the point where the lamp in the temple went out. That was never supposed to go out under the law. That was supposed to always be burning. There was always a rotation. That was a 24/7 job. Do you understand that we're to not let our light go out? That's what happened when the cry of the bridegroom, they suddenly realized the oil was only in the lamp and they didn't have enough. The light was going to go out. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lay down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. You see, sometimes we're not listening, and so we're not used to God speaking to us. But if we develop a relationship, like a person you love, you can know their voice in a crowd. You know their voice. Like I can know my only one time was I fooled, because her sisters sound like her. So one time when we was dating, her sister answered the phone and had me keep going and talking away, and they never let me forget that. They just let me talk about, you know, my princess and but the Bible says, "My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow." If you could stand with me today. So the word of God comes by relationship. See, when you know someone, you know their voice, right? You know their voice. Philippians 3:10. "That I may know him." This scripture is so amazing to me because it's written at the end, near the end of Paul's life. The great apostle Paul, he's started so many churches. He's preached before kings. He's been before Caesar. He's in prison in Rome, and he says this, "That I may know him." That tells me this is a journey. You never get so much that you know everything. Amen. I want to know him more. I want to be closer to him more. I don't want there to be even daylight between me and God. I want to be in alignment with the word. I want there to be nothing that separates me from God. Amen. Paul says here, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead." Now, what does this have to do with the word? What I'm trying to tell you, it has to do with relationship. Because when you know God, the more you know him, amen, the more he can direct your steps. In the Old Testament, it says that, "Oh, that I may know him," right? And it uses that Hebrew word, yada, to know him, that he may direct our steps. This is what we need, is the word all day long. The times when I'm strongest is when I'm listening to the word, when I've been praising, when I put on my gospel music, when I'm worshiping. That's when I'm strongest. That's when the word is ministering to me. And as we close this Bible study, I want to just encourage you to pull out the sword, which is the Word of God. Amen. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the Word. Hallelujah, that is eternal, that is powerful. Lord, we ask you to speak three words into our life today. Let there be. Lord, help us to take that Word, oh God, and be armored up against the wiles of the enemy. Lord, we ask you to bless our second service. Let your Spirit have liberty to flow. Let anointing be in this place. Let blessing come down. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, if you could give God a praise offering at this time. Hallelujah.